Jesus went on with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi, and on the way he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they answered him, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." He asked them, "But who do you say that I am?" Peter answered him, "You are the Messiah." And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Then he began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are settling your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels."
Let us pray. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew in us a right spirit. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts and minds be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A middle-aged woman had a heart attack and was taken to the hospital. And while in the intensive care unit, she had a near-death experience. Seeing God, she asked, "Is my time up?" God said, "No. You have another 40 years, 2 months, and 5 days to live." Upon recovery, the woman decided to stay in the hospital and have a facelift, liposuction, and a tummy tuck. She even had someone come in and change her hair color. Since she had so much more time to live, she figured she might as well make the most of it. After her last operation, she was released from the hospital. While crossing the street on her way home, she was killed by an oncoming car. Arriving in front of God again, she demanded, "I thought you said that I had another 40 years. Why didn't you pull me from out of the path of the car?" God replied, "Sorry about that. I just didn't recognize you." Does God recognize us? Now, I must admit that before I get any further in the sermon, I have to admit that I have more questions than I do answers for us today. I'm not even sure that I know all of the right questions to ask, so bear with me. I think that I'm like most of us who become suspicious of those who have, or at least think they know, all of the answers anyway. Peter and the rest of the disciples seem to have some of the answers to Jesus' questions. "Who do people say that I am?" And they answer, "John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets." They were good at repeating the answers of others. Jesus goes a step further and asks, "But who do you say that I am?" And the teachers here this morning can probably bear witness. There is always at least one in the class who can't raise their hand, who speaks out of turn, who speaks before thinking and blurts out the answer. just like Peter. You are the Messiah. Now, from our vantage point, we know that Peter answered correctly. But I'm not sure by Jesus' own response and his further explanations about what it meant to be the Messiah, if Peter really passed the test. Jesus was asking the disciples to make some sense of what they had been experiencing, to dig a little deeper, to use what they had been given, what they had heard and seen from others, and what they too had been experiencing, to form a response to Jesus' question of just who Jesus was. Now it's easy for us to shake our heads when it comes to Peter. But if we were asked the very same question, I'm not sure how well we would be able to respond either. If we were asked the first question, asked to recite and recall the answers of others, we probably could do that pretty easily. Who do people say that I am? Jesus asks. And I'm sure that we, each one of us, could come up with some answers. We might even answer in such a way that proves that we know Jesus better than others. But if we were to be asked the second question, but who do you say that I am? Do we have an answer? Most of us would probably answer out of the rational side of our understanding. We know about Jesus. What others have told us about Jesus, what we have read about Jesus, what we have learned factually about Jesus. And some of us would answer from our own experiential side of understanding, how we encounter and experience Christ in relationship to our own lives. Still others of us might just guess at the answer. And say whatever sounds right, or even use or plagiarize the words of others to come up with our own answer. Jesus was asking his disciples to make sense of what they had been experiencing, to dig deeper, to use what they had seen and heard from others, and what they too had been experiencing to form a response about who Jesus was. Jesus was wanting them to go even a step further. Jesus explains the answer that he is seeking. Jesus wanted their lives and the choices that they made in life to reflect the answer to his question. But who do you say that I am? Jesus wanted their whole lives to reflect the answer to that question. But who do you say that I am? If anyone have become my followers, right, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. By his further explanation, we find out that Jesus was looking for a lifetime response. A response that included suffering and sacrifice, a life centered on divine things instead of human things, a life of giving and receiving, a life of losing and gaining. Jesus was answering his own question by explaining to his disciples what it will mean for Jesus to be the Messiah and what it means for us to follow and to make the confession that Jesus is truly the Messiah. You see, looking at Jesus' answer to his own question, his explanation, we can turn that question back to ourselves. We can begin to look in the mirror and see what images that we are reflecting. What really is our response to Jesus' question? Not who do we say that Jesus is from our lips, but who do we say that Jesus is from our very lives, from the very choices that we make on a daily basis. We can ask the question to Jesus or to God, who do you say that we are? Who do you say that I am? Like the woman in the opening illustration, God, do you still recognize us? Like I said earlier, I have more questions than I do answers. And I will not even make an attempt to answer for God how it is that God sees us. However, there are some things that we know, in fact, for sure. Each one of us wants to be outstanding in the field of our discipleship, right? We want to be outstanding in the field. Outstanding in the field or outstanding in the field? Don't worry, it took me a couple times to realize what I had just said. I had to repeat it over and over again, and then it dawned on me, outstanding in the field, lost, with no direction, or outstanding in the field? Does God recognize us as outstanding in the field of our discipleship? Whether or not we are outstanding in our field, our following of Christ can be clearly measured by our response to Jesus' calling of the crowd. Friends, are we willing to deny ourselves? Are we willing to make sacrifices? Are we willing to bear witness? Are we willing to bear the burdens of others? Are we willing to lose our own lives? Are we willing to lose our sense of power and control over things and share that control with others? Are we willing to trust and take risks? Are we willing to give sacrificially of our time, our gifts, and our resources? Do we put Christ at the very center of our lives? Is our faith only a sometimes thing or an always thing? Do we make room in our lives to follow Christ? We cannot pick up the weight of a cross if our hands and arms are already full of things. That's how Jesus answered the question. That's how we measure our own response of who God is in our lives. We've also been called to be a witness in this community, so it's vitally important that we ask the question of how others see us. Who do other people say that we are? I don't have time this morning to go into all of that question could imply, but I will ask this. Do others see by our actions that we reflect the love of Christ? Are there connections between what we say and believe and what we do? Are we building, creating, and continuing to create a place for others to belong, a place where others can share their struggles, their hurts, their dreams, and their joys? Do others know that we are Christians by our love? How often do we get it right? How often do we get it wrong? How often do we simply lack the courage to try? We have to remember that this scripture, this moment, was a turning point in the lives of the disciples and in Jesus' ministry and life. Mark records that this is the first time that Jesus tells his disciples of what is ahead of them. Jesus recognized the importance of this moment and wanted Peter and the rest of the disciples to no longer get caught up on human things, but wanted their minds and their lives centered on divine things. So I leave you with this question this morning. Does God recognize us? Does God recognize us? Does God continually call us? Absolutely. And whether we have 40 days or 5 days to live should not change the way we respond. Following Jesus is meant to be lifelong and life-changing. Where He leads us, He goes with us all the way.